Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, we're going to begin reading at verse number 37. John chapter 7, verse number 37. Familiar scripture. Again, preaching is reminding, and I'm going to remind you of some things this morning. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And may God add his blessing to his word this morning. Little boy was sent to bed by his dad. 5 minutes later, you know what happened. "Dad, what?" "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink of water?" "No, son, you had your chance. Go to sleep." Have any of you fathers ever had this conversation? 5 minutes later, "Dad, what? I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink?" "I told you no. Go to sleep." 5 minutes later, same thing. "If you ask me again, son, I'm going to have to apply the rod of correction to the seat of understanding." You know what that is? All right. 5 minutes later, "Dad, what? When you come to spank me, can you bring me a drink of water?" You see, when you're thirsty, you'll do anything to get a drink. Amen? When you're thirsty. Sprite, the slogan for Sprite was, for a time, "Obey your thirst." This morning, I want to encourage you to obey your thirst. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the thirst that God gives us to know him. The thirst that it begins when we're bound by the chains of sin. That thirst that he gives us by his prevenient grace when he begins to deal with our heart and draw us to himself. And when the things of this world no longer satisfy, what you need to do is obey your thirst and come to the fountain of living water. C.S. Lewis said, "If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." I don't know if you've noticed, but we live in an age where mud pies are what people live on. Mud pies cover the billboards along the road. Mud pies are what you see on the commercials on TV. Mud pies are what you hear about on the radio. When you do a Google search, 90% of what you see is mud pies. We live in a world filled with mud pies. When God has offered us a holiday at the sea, we're too busy making mud pies to understand what God has offered to us. In our scripture reading this morning, Jesus is speaking on the last great day of the feast. It's the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Feast of the Booths. During this festival, the Jews would leave their homes and they'd build temporary dwelling places away from their homes. They were to live in those temporary dwelling places, rejoicing in the goodness of God. And it was to commemorate how God had brought them out of Egypt, how they'd lived in tents in the wilderness. They'd been stuck in the desert for 40 years. And when you're in a desert, if you get thirsty, you're dying. And that's what had happened in the wilderness. And that's why, as the children of Israel went through the wilderness time and time again, you read about how God provided miraculously. He provided water for them. You remember Moses was to speak to a rock so the water would come out. Moses struck the rock and water came out. God provided water time and time again, because if you're in a desert and you're thirsty, you're dying. And now on this last great day of the feast, for the 7 days prior, the priest would draw water out of the pool of Siloam. They'd carry a golden pitcher of water to the temple, and then to the altar with the high priest leading the way. They would make that journey one time. As the priest neared the water gate, the shofar would blow and psalms of praise and thanksgiving would be sung. Specifically, they would sing Psalm 113 to 118. The Pharisees emphasized that the emphasis should be that the people should be praying for rain during that time, because it was fall and their cisterns would be nearly empty after the dryness of summer. And so they would carry, that priest would carry that golden pitcher of water. For 7 days, they would march one time. On the seventh day, they would march seven times. And on the last great day of the feast, while all that's going on, Jesus stood up amongst the thousands of people that were there, and he offers to the crowd there, he offers an invitation. Look with me at verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst." Now notice who Jesus gives this invitation to. It's not to people who have fasted and prayed enough. It's not to people who have spent all night in prayer. He doesn't give the invitation to those who've praised enough. He simply gives the invitation to those who are thirsty. You ever been really thirsty? When you get really thirsty, you'll drink just about anything if it's wet. I used to work at Stanley Steamer in Columbus back in my college years. And you know, I suppose that drinking out of a down in Alabama, they call them hose pipes. I about forget what they're called up here now. Water hoses? Down in Alabama, you know, you drink out of a hose pipe. I suppose that's not the most sanitary way to drink. And the water's not always cold. But if you're thirsty, you really don't care. I read a newspaper article about a criminal who was on the run. The police surrounded the man. He was refusing to surrender. But he got thirsty. And one of the police officers came up with an idea. They offered the man a Pepsi if he would surrender. And that's all it took. I would have held out for a Coke at least. But all it took was a Pepsi, and the man surrendered. He got arrested, but his thirst got quenched. Jesus has invited us to enjoy the wellsprings of his Spirit. And all it takes is us getting thirsty enough. In 1932, the United States was in the middle of the Great Depression. That's no time to go into business. But a couple named Ted and Dorothy bought a little drug store in their town. Grasshoppers had eaten all the crops in the region. This in turn, of course, was followed by the Great Dust Bowl. 10 days of temperatures over 100 degrees. And as a result of the depression and the Dust Bowl and all of that, the drugstore was about to close. But Ted and Dorothy began to discuss among themselves, how can we get people to come to our drugstore? So they came up with a strategy of using billboards. So they went 25 miles in each direction from their little drugstore and put up a sign that said "Free Ice Water" at the Wall Drugstore, Wall, South Dakota. Anybody been there? 10 miles away, "Free Ice Water" at the Wall Drugstore, Wall, South Dakota. Hold on, it's only 6 miles to the Wall Drugstore and "Free Ice Water." And today there's signs all over the country that will tell you how far it is to Wall Drugstore and "Free Ice Water." You see, lots of people had given away free ice water. But Ted and Dorothy thought to advertise it. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus Christ has given you an invitation. If you're thirsty, you can come to Him and drink. You can be as close to God as you want to be. You can enjoy as much of God's presence in your life as you want to possess. You just have to get thirsty enough. You may not know all the theology. You may not know all the right words to say. You may not know everything about the Bible. But if you know thirst, you can know the one who can quench your thirst. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Your thirst can be quenched. I remember when I was 16 years old, I was raised in the church. I was raised in a pretty legalistic environment. But I never remember a time when I didn't want to serve Jesus, like a lot of church kids. You know, we were raised in the church, and you don't really remember the first time you prayed and asked Jesus into your heart. Anybody else like that? You don't remember the first time? But at 16 years old, I began to really, all the legalism and everything that I was raised with, it just wasn't making sense to me. There was no real answers being given to me about why we did the things we did. And so in my mind, I began to just throw everything away. But on October 14th, God began to speak to my heart. And as a 16-year-old boy, I settled into my heart that I was going to serve Jesus. And whatever He wanted me to do, I was willing to do it. I needed Him. And I can tell you, I failed Him since then. But I can tell you this, He's never failed me. And He's able to quench the thirst of our hearts. The invitation is to come to Him to drink. The instructions are that we must go to Him to drink. Jesus gives us the instructions. If you want to enjoy the refreshing water of the Holy Spirit, come to Me and drink. That's what Jesus says. You don't have to pay a priest to sprinkle holy water on you. All you have to do is go to Jesus, and you'll find that He can satisfy that thirst of your soul. The instructions are, go to Jesus and drink. You remember Jesus at one time in His ministry, He told His disciples, "I need to go through Samaria." Now, no good Jew ever needed to go through Samaria. No good Jew ever needed to do that. But Jesus was a good Jew, and He needed to go through Samaria. And the reason why He needed to go through Samaria is He knew that there was a Samaritan woman there who was thirsty. She'd been trying to quench her thirst with men. She'd been married 5 times. She was living with a man she wasn't married to. But one day she met Jesus. And she met the one who could quench the thirst of her souls. Jesus asked her for a drink. You remember the story? And she responded, she said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from Me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus responded to that Samaritan woman. He said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." And then Jesus went on, He said, "Whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." Let me back up. He said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." Jesus wants you and He wants me to enjoy the well springs of the Holy Spirit. But what do we need to do? We need to go to Him and drink. I believe this morning that every Christian, when you become a Christian, you're given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in your life. If anyone have not the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Him. But I also believe it's another thing for the Spirit to have all of us. Once the Philadelphia Ministerial Association wanted to have a citywide evangelistic crusade, Dwight L. Moody's name was brought up as a potential speaker. One of the speakers complained, "We've had Moody before, and you want to invite him here again. Does Moody have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And another one of the ministers responded by saying, "No, but the Holy Spirit has monopoly on D.L. Moody." Let me ask you a question this morning. Does the Holy Spirit have monopoly on you? Does He possess all of you? God has a remedy and a plan both for our committed sins and our inherited sins. His desire is for us to be wholly His, completely His. As Mark Jackson put it in his book about Church of God beliefs, he said this. He said, "The secret to living a holy, victorious life is not the law or self-effort, but the power of the Holy Spirit." The power of the Holy Spirit is the key for us living the way God wants us to live. He must have all of us. We must attend the funeral of our own independence. We must lay down ourselves fully and completely to Him. We must get thirsty for the things of God. C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, and one of the books in the Chronicles of Narnia is the book The Silver Chair. Anybody read the Chronicles of Narnia? Uh-oh. Okay. I'm seeing a few heads nod. I got nervous there for a minute because I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. But in the Chronicles of Narnia, in the book The Silver Chair, C.S. Lewis writes about Jill. And Jill has an encounter with the lion, who of course represents Christ. And this is what Lewis wrote. "The birds had ceased singing, and there was a perfect silence except for one small persistent sound, which seems to come from a good distance away. She listened carefully and felt almost sure it was the sound of running water. Jill got up and looked around her very carefully. There was no sign of the lion, but there were so many trees about that it might easily be quite close without her seeing it. But her thirst was very bad now, and she plucked up her courage to go and look for that running water. The wood was so still that it was not difficult to decide where the sound was coming from. It grew clear every moment, and sooner than she expected, she came to an open glade and saw the stream, bright as glass, running across the turf a stone's throw away from her. But although the sight of water made her feel 10 times thirstier than before, she didn't rush forward to drink. She stood as still as if she had been turned to stone with her mouth wide open. And she had a very good reason. Just on this side of the stream lay the lion. How long this lasted, she could not be sure. It seemed like hours. And the thirst became so bad that she almost felt she would not mind being eaten by the lion if only she could be sure of getting a mouthful of water first. If you're thirsty, you may drink." For a second, she stared here and there, wondering who had spoken. Then the voice said again, "If you are thirsty, come and drink." It was deeper, wilder, and stronger, a sort of heavy, golden voice. "Are you thirsty?" said the lion. "I'm dying of thirst," said Jill. "Then drink," said the lion. "May I? Could I? Would you mind going away while I do?" said Jill. The lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. The delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. "Do you eat girls?" she asked fearfully. "I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms," said the lion. It didn't say this as if it was boasting, nor as if it were sorry, nor as if it were angry. It just said it. "I daren't come and drink," said Jill. "Then you will die of thirst," said the lion. Oh dear, said Jill, coming another step nearer. I suppose I must go and look for another stream then. There is no other stream, said the lion. Are you thirsty? There is no other stream. The invitation is if you're thirsty. The instructions are you must come to him and drink. You can try all the streams this world offers, but you will find each and every one of them will not satisfy. Oh, there's pleasures in sin for a season, but it won't satisfy. But if you're thirsty and you go to Jesus to drink, I can assure you, he does not withhold himself from those who seek after him. If you want him, he will give you what you're thirsty for. Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What's Jesus talking about here when he talks about living water? He's talking about giving his Spirit. And Jesus said, if we'll ask, he'll give us his presence. The invitation is to those who are thirsty. The instruction is to go to him and drink. And when you do, what you find is there's an inner fountain that begins to flow out of those who go to Jesus and drink. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. When the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in our lives, what flows out of us is a river. We are not to be a cistern. Remember, the Pharisees emphasized the need to pray for rain so that their cisterns would be filled with water. A cistern's built to catch the rainwater. A natural example of this whole idea of living water can be found in the two seas in the Holy Land. You have the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee freely takes in water and freely gives out water. Those waters flow to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea freely takes in water, but nothing goes out. Of course, the Sea of Galilee is filled with life. That's where Jesus and his disciples would fish. But the Dead Sea takes in the water from the Jordan River. No water flows out. And the salt level in the Dead Sea is 8.6 times the amount of salt in the ocean. There's nothing living in the Dead Sea. And Jesus Christ doesn't want us to be cisterns. He doesn't want us simply to take in. I know a lot of people who claim to be Christians who all they ever do is take in. They take in. And they become really salty. Have you met any salty Christians? You know what they're doing? They're just taking in. And they're taking in. And rivers of living water aren't flowing through them. I don't know about you, but I want rivers of living water to flow through me. I don't know who the dear saint is who both Sundays I've been here have come to me and said, I'm going to leave you some water up on the pulpit. And I can verify that water is not salty. You know, if he left me a cup of salty water, you know what I would take away from that? He probably doesn't like my preaching. But he didn't do that to me this morning. Thank you, sir. He left me some good water. You see, life cannot be sustained if it's held on to. The Holy Spirit does not come into our lives simply for our own benefit. He wants to flow through us so that the people we come in contact with know that there's something to this whole Christianity thing. He wants his living waters to flow in and through us so that we're not like a swamp, but that we're like rivers of living water. Unfortunately, though, so many people are what their life demonstrates is not the fruits of the Spirit. That's what grows when living water flows through us. We produce fruits of the Spirit. But what characterizes so many people's lives are not the fruits of the Spirit, but the works of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. That's the works of the flesh. That's what happens when rivers of living water aren't flowing through us. Think with me for just a minute. I don't know you all. But who's the most godly and holy person you've ever known? You have somebody that's coming to mind. And if you were to tell me this morning why you consider them the most godly or holy individual you've ever known, I can tell you what you'd say. You would talk to me about the sweet spirit about them. You would tell how they are kind and loving, how they were concerned about others more than themselves. Why? Because rivers of living water flow through them. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I'm sure that all of us have encountered holiness people, and I'm using quotes here, air quotes. We've all encountered holiness people who claim to be saved and sanctified and on their way to heaven. And yet what was flowing from their lives was anything but the life-giving waters of the Holy Spirit. And you know what that did to me as a kid? It repelled me. I didn't want anything to do with it. That's why at 16 years old, I was throwing everything away in my mind. Because I knew a lot of people that professed a lot of things, but I didn't always see the evidence. But thank God there's been a few people in my life who rivers of living water flowed through them. And it put a hunger in my heart for the real thing, where the fruit of the Spirit flows. You see, fruit grows where the stream flows. The compassion of Christ flows in that river. Power to witness flows in that river. So I want to ask you this morning, is the living water of the Holy Spirit flowing through you? Or is it time for you to come to Jesus and drink? In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells us not to be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm sure you've heard it. But when Paul says to be filled with the Spirit, in the original Greek, the word there means to keep on being filled. Don't be drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but keep on being filled by the Spirit. You know why we have to keep on being filled with the Spirit? Because we tend to be leaky vessels. We tend to be leaky. You see, God wants us to think how he thinks, feel how he feels, desire what he desires, do what he wants done, speak what he wants spoken, minister as he would give strength. He wants us to walk according to his Spirit. And the only way we can do that is to keep on being filled by his Spirit. We all remember times in which maybe we felt the presence of God more than we feel right now. What happened? Well, we tend to be leaky vessels. Life has a way of, at times, trying to squeeze us into its mold. And every once in a while, we need to go back to the fountain of living water and say, Jesus, I'm here to drink. I don't want to be filled with wine. I want to be filled with your Spirit. If we're not careful, we can begin to play around with the mud pies of this world. We can set our minds on the things of the flesh rather than the things of the Spirit. We can become spiritually proud, and we can refuse to admit that we've become entangled with mud pies again. Oh, but may God help us to be willing to humble ourselves and say, Jesus, I need you. I need your presence. I need the fountain of living water. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know you all that well. But I know if you're a follower of Jesus, there's times in which we need to pull back up to the table or maybe come back down to the altar and say, Jesus, here's my cup. Fill it up. Or maybe you're here this morning and there's sin in your life and you're tired of making mud pies. The invitation is to you, come to Jesus and drink and allow His Spirit to take up residence in your life. And when He does, out of your innermost being, rivers of living water will begin to flow. So I don't know where you're at, but I want to just give you an opportunity this morning to say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm coming to you and I want to drink.